Jeff, and like the girls and the rabbi said, Jeff would love the crowds today. He absolutely just loves people and he loves having his presence around us always. I have known Jeff for probably 58 years, almost his and my entire life. Jeff was the kind of person who, if you met him once, quickly became your lifelong good friend. Everybody here was Jeff for a long time, but everybody was Jeff for his friend. He was fun to be with and always willing for a new challenge. Jeff was loyal and considerate and someone you just wanted to hang out with. My first memories of Jeff were as part of Adventure Team. With Rabbi Mike, Jeff, as you know, was an only child. And that first experience of going away was somewhat difficult. But I took a liking to him, and we became best friends. We both attended religious school. Heather Bazarin was, I think, was a great teacher. We went to Charlotte Senior High. We went to Franklin High School. We went to the University of Washington. We were in a fraternity together at college. And Jack's older than us were not in the fraternity that we were in. It was from the Stanley's fraternity. And he was with those guys from, I think that he had played poker right out of college. So, some fun to do. Our paths seemed intertwined forever. I have so many fond memories of all those early years with Jack. And then he met Janice, the love of his life, in college. Terry and I spent many fun times together with Jack and Janice. For Jack, there was only one woman in his heart and his life, and that person was Janice. And he loved her with all his heart. Jack also loved his children, Tara, Sally, and Rachel, and wanted to be a part of their life everything. I know he was very proud of the fine women that you have come to be. He was also happy and pleased with the men that he chose. Aaron, Bobby, Jeff, and soon to be Tony. He took pleasure in knowing his girls and found a special person to spend the rest of their life with. Jack was especially happy to attend Sally and Jeff's wedding just a few months ago. And he was so excited about his granddaughter, Jane. His face lit up every time he spoke to her. Jack loved his mother and father and was saddened by his mother's death only a few months ago. Jack was so unique and genuine. I'd like to share just a few of the stories that I have. I have a little story that my wife tells me to make sure not go on. But I have to tell you some stories. One time, my brother Al and I and Jack decided to make a trip to Eastern Washington. It was during the summertime, and we wanted to get the sun, so we decided, let's go to Eastern Washington and make a picture on the kennel in Pasco, Iowa. We decided we're going to go. Now, Jack, those of you know, Jack was an awful driver. And he was an awful driver from the time he was young. And so, as we were getting ready to go on this trip, and they declared, Jack, you can come with us, but you're not driving the car. Just a passenger. Okay. And Tilly, and saw this, their only child, where are you guys going? How long are you going to take to get there? Call us when you get there. So we made it to Richland, Pasco, and Brother Al was on the other side. And the weather was just awful. And the next morning, we looked at the newspaper, and we called Tilly and Jack, and Tilly saw the weather, and that was go to Taco with him. They were going on a vacation at the time. And I was used to going on vacations with my parents, not very much, but when we traveled, he stopped at a gas station when he had to go to the bathroom, but he didn't stop beside him. As we were at the house with Kelly and Paul, we were talking about our trip, and we were planning the trip. The first, it was so much different because the trip was planned about where we're going to stop to eat. And the first stop was a poodle dog in Tacoma. We hadn't even driven 40 minutes before we had to stop the poodle dog in Tacoma. Got a couple words. Jack, as we said, was in the Air Force Reserve. And he was in Texas, Oklahoma, Texas, I think, at the time. And it was his birthday. And Tilly, as everybody knows, was a wonderful, an unbelievable country. And Tilly called me and Dennis or Tracy Delaney and said, I'd like you to come over to the house. I'm going to make all of Jack's favorites, like 7 quarts of meal, and I want you to come over for his birthday. So sure enough, we came over. It was unbelievable. And sure enough, Jack called. So Tracy or Dennis and I are like, Jack, we really miss you, but let me tell you, your mom made all your favorite bellini, the potatoes that she scooped out. I mean, it was amazing. And poor Jack was so depressed. He was, okay, guys, have a great time. I don't know if most of you know, but Jack won a car. All of a sudden, one day, I get a call from Dave. Yeah, Jack. We got to go to get your football. We got to go to the high school play field, and we got to practice kicking field goals. He says, I am in this contest at the University of Washington at halftime, and it's kicking field goals. And I'll be there for Jack. It was absolutely amazing. Girls told him, he didn't take the car, he took the money. A story about Jack pulling for food, because it really is all about Jack. So Jack was a Virginia Mason, and he was pretty sick. He was there for 30 days. And I came one day to visit him. It was after work. So I probably got there at 4 or 5 o'clock, and we had a nice chat, visited, we were having a great time, and I said, okay, Jack, it's probably time for me to go, and I said, well, yeah. He said, Jack, it's I'm really hungry. And he said, I just don't want to go to the hospital. This is awful. I said, okay, Jack, let me go to a hamburger joint or a Subway or something. That's not what I want. Said, 13 coins. I want you to go to 13 coins and get me chicken parmesan. Sure enough, went to 13 coins, got me chicken parmesan. He was so excited when I got that. It was just the best thing. I want to thank each and every one of you who helped Jack as he faced his health challenge for one reason. Each and every person that Dale and I reached out to gladly and willingly offered their help and did so with much love. There's one person who helped me as we worked through with Jack Dale over the years, and that's Dale. Dale was always there through thick and thin, good times and bad, and I don't think I could have done it. Jack, I know I speak on behalf of everyone here. We love you. We're doing this. And we'll hold our memories in the ground.
Listening to all these wonderful words by his beautiful daughters, friends, family, has already been said, so I don't want to be redundant, but by the same token, I'd like to say a few words about not only a gentleman who was a wonderful brother-in-law to me, but a very dear friend. Have you ever had an opinion, and then someone comes to sway your opinion, and then you answer, well, you know, maybe you're right after all, you know, it's not, my ideas are not necessarily set in stone. That phraseology, set in stone, applies to Jack in a very, very good way. Because when you make his acquaintance, when you become a friend of his, that is set in stone and immovable. He had so many attributes that you didn't even have to scratch the surface to uncover, because when you saw Jack, what you saw was what he was. He was kind, he was generous, he loved having a good time, but even more so, he loved sharing the good time that he was having. He wanted it to be contagious. He wanted for you to share the good times that he was having. But most, what I can underscore the most, is his compassion. And the girl said it, and I can't say it any better, but I'll try to paraphrase it. If he wanted something, he would do everything to make sure that you got it. And you can tell the person a lot by the company he keeps. I know their names have been mentioned here many times. Dave and Terry and Dale and our mutual good friend Albert Angel. And I know there's many Steve Carmioli who are dear friends. And the goodness that they are is who Jack was as well. My brother, who I'm now finding out, my brother Morris came in. Just as an aside, he came in this week because we had our father's Noldado, 7-month Noldado for my dear father, our father, Mr. Jack Barron, blessed memory. So he said, you know, Frank, I think I'm going to come to Seattle and I'll be with you for the Noldado. And no sooner, the next morning, we received the very sad news on the passing of Jack. So Morris is here today. We know Morris. And he was sharing some memories that he and Jack shared over the years that I'm now finding out just now. I guess I really missed out on that. I was away in school in New York and Morris was younger. And the fun that they had from my sister Jack's house in Green Lake and all the times that you were pampered outside of my presence. And he gave you, also he spoiled you with his kindness and with his generosity and with his fun. And it followed you when you moved to New York, because I know he and Josh went so many times to visit you and vacation with you for all of your happy occasions that you had in New York. I know that meant quite a bit to you. But what I want to close with, I mean, there aren't enough words that really speak about the kindness and the goodness of who Jack was. He had this beaming smile from ear to ear that also was contagious. He was so happy, even in times of distraught, like over these last moments of, or these last months of his life when he was really ill. The expression on his face was always one of happiness and joy, just like it was when he was more healthy. But what was really profound over these last several weeks and several months is a blessing that I saw coming to fruition. That he had by his side not only his dear friends who are very close to him, but you, Tara, you, Sally, and you, Rachel, you were the apple of his eye. And my sister, Janice, I don't call, I've never called her Janice in my entire life. She's lovingly known to me as Josh, those of you who know me. So I'm speaking from the heart, but I have to call you Josh.